Comments made on the Serotalk podcast are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk podcast.
Serotalk podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotalk Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft.
Welcome to Serotalk. Welcome to Serotalk Podcast 59 for January 17, 2010. This is Michael Loft.
I'm Ricky Anger.
And I'm Joe Steinkamp.
Well, it looks like after a year of rumors and speculation, the iPhone finally going to happen, officially launched on Verizon Wireless. Current customers can get the new bad boy around February 3. Everyone else is going to have to wait till February 10. And 16 GB units there, 16 gigabytes, $199, 32 gigabytes for $299. And of course, you will have the ability to do the Wi-Fi hotspots, and you can do that up to 5 devices. But there are some limits to that. You got a 5 gigabyte limit of data transfer per month, and you're also going to pay an extra $30 per month. So tethering is not free. And then people have to sort out kind of the difference between the plans between Verizon and AT&T. I guess if you want to use an exchange server, that's another $15 per month.
Yeah, that's a big ouch for the people that are going to be allowed to use that in the enterprise space.
And a few things have been pointed out that to keep in mind before you go bailing out of AT&T is that AT&T generally has a faster 3G network. And maybe the biggest one is, even as of now, Verizon cannot do both voice and data simultaneously. And this issue may or may not be fixed by the end of 2011. So I don't usually browse while I'm on the phone, but if people do you, Ricky? Do you multitask? And
there are times when I need to. And by the way, this isn't an issue that's specific to the iPhone. It's something specific to CDMA phones in general. And I will find myself being on a business call and needing to read an email or something like that. It's not a case of people just idly browsing the web while they're, you know, sitting and listening to somebody else doing the same thing on a cell phone conversation. There are legitimate times when you need to do it. But for me, it wouldn't be a deal breaker. I mean, but it is a nice to have, being able to do both voice and data at the same time.
Well, some would say that AT&T has to connect calls for some users of the iPhone in order for that to be an issue, because, you know, some people are looking at leaving AT&T for the sheer reason that they can't use the iPhone as a phone.
In June, it's traditional that the newest version of the iPhone is released. And so there are going to be people who are running out to buy this iPhone, and it's going to be obsolete in a couple of months. And so some people say that it's well worth waiting until Apple makes its next iPhone-related announcement. And it may not just be Verizon that is going to get the iPhone. There are rumors, speculation, at least people hoping and wondering if the iPhone's going to make it over to Sprint as well.
Well, it's a non-exclusive deal, so Sprint's going to make an announcement on Feb 7, so folks are waiting to see what that might be. Those who just want to be penny wise and pound foolish can go get a 3GS for $49, and yet you're still going to pay $2,000 over the next 2 years, so resist the urge on that, folks. And Apple did also announce, and Verizon did announce, that there's also going to be an Apple iPad with CDMA capabilities, so you can take it into the Verizon network if you like.
For those of you who think we talk about Apple too much, how about let's talk about ourselves instead? Just a reminder that you can follow the official Serotech Twitter feed at twitter.com/Serotech. We'll be posting announcements for shows like CSUN and where various and sundry members of the team are going to be appearing and speaking, and any other Serotech updates that belong on that feed, you'll be able to see if you follow us.
That's right. And recently put out was Tech Chat 85. We talked about exercise for better health and quality of life. And we had a blind martial arts specialist. And we talked a lot about diet and exercise and some nasty food and liquids to stay away from. And it was a very interesting discussion, I thought, anyway. So you can check that out at serotalk.com.
And you would be thinking of starting an exercise regime as a part of a New Year's resolution. You know, one of the New Year's resolutions we all start off with here is not to make silly little comments or make little faux pas and not create any outtakes. If you want to get an idea of what our outtakes were like last year, and there are some funny ones, you can hop over to the Serotalk blog and take a listen. Our 2010 outtakes, there are some very, very funny moments there.
Well, in Wisconsin, they posted a YouTube video showing how they raise money, the Lions Club there, by actually doing some stock car racing. And that includes a few blind folks who get to do a three-lap race. Left, left, right, right. So I thought it was a very interesting video and a way to not only raise money for the Lions, and it's important to mention that Lions is a great resource. Maybe you're needing a piece of AT and just don't have the financial means to get it. I remember in the 70s getting a Braille writer, Perkins, from the Lions Club. So it's a great organization. They do great work. And check out this YouTube video if you like to see blind people driving around a racetrack.
The University of Massachusetts, a scientist has come up with a pretty nifty device. It's a 3-ounce electronic device that is paired with a Bluetooth headset. And basically there are RFID tags around the building, giving you directions as far as where you are and how you might be able to navigate to where you want to be. This is called the Percept, and it's a great way for a blind person to be able to navigate successfully in an unfamiliar building. So now you no longer have to accost passersby and ask for directions. You can just use this little device along with your Bluetooth headset and get spoken directions for where you need to go.
Speaking of finding your way around, I've gone to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo many, many times, and it's a very big, big, big place. And sometimes, you know, they have the ability to use something like that where they have spotters and things like that. So that'd actually be a really good thing to have to be able to go around sports arenas as well. Speaking of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, they recently released a video in which they use speech synthesis to kind of tell what their lineup was and let everybody know that Kiss was coming and Janet Jackson was coming. In a way, it was a lot like the iPhone commercial that the Best Buy guy did, where it was the iPhone talking to Android back and forth. And it was kind of a viral
commercial.
Yeah, I'll
be honest. I can't hear those desktop versions of Tom and Samantha without expecting them to say something a bit off color. And so I was listening to the Houston Rodeo thing and wondering when the bad part was going to come. But I think they actually did a really nice job with it.
And you can contact the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. They actually do audio description of that event. I believe it's Sight and Sound Radio in Houston actually works with them to have audio description. I believe it's only certain performances. So you definitely want to contact that organization because they have headphones and you can sit there and have people give you audio description of what's going on. And it's a great service they've been doing for years. Speaking of synthesizers, by the way, Ricky's favorite, Daniel, RealSpeak Daniel, was actually used in a Geico commercial.
A new device shown at CES, of all places, is the iSonic Vibrating Cane. Is your cane vibrating? Are you glad to see me? But it sounds like a cool device. You can actually find out things to your left and right. I think it has like a 55-degree angle to it. Has a color identification, tells you if it's light or dark outside. Now, the NFB is already saying don't get too excited. It won't meet the needs of most people because, unfortunately, it doesn't detect drop-offs or elevations, you know, in sidewalk and things. So ramps or curbs or steps or things like that, they say this device is not going to detect.
The Social Security information systems appear to be destined for collapse. We certainly hope this doesn't happen, but they were planning for this eventuality. They just didn't expect it to happen quite so soon. They are going to be moving to a different data center, but that's not going to be scheduled until 2015. So they're going to face some issues between now and then.
Yeah, and part of the problem is the system dates back to 1979. Speaking of data, it looks like the California Supreme Court has ruled that police can search cell phones of folks that they arrest. And this is raising a lot of red flags because the concern is, well, maybe they could arrest people just for the benefit of looking at their data. And this may ultimately go to the Supreme Court because actually the state of Ohio has ruled the complete opposite and said that police may not search the cell phones, even of arrested drug dealers. We also saw earlier this week, the Obama administration is trying to initiate a campaign to actually create cards that people would use for a couple different things. A, for communicating with any governmental websites, or that merchants could opt into to use. And so there's a big push to try to get this closed down before it even starts. So that's what's going on in the land of privacy.
It's going to be very interesting to see how they approach multi-level authentication. You know, what kind of thing will they use for security to make sure that you can actually prove that you are you? And that'll be a wonderful conversation, because a lot of companies that use, say, Homeland Security devices and things like that use LCD screens to generate a number. Then they type that number in, and it's always constantly randomizing. So it will be interesting to see what kind of accessible ways they will come up with to authenticate that you belong to you.
Exactly. Another portal for identity theft. I just don't think it's going to work. I think it's, you know, and again, you're trying to do something in the States for the internet that is a global mechanism, and that's fine. Maybe it's for government procurement, or maybe any business that does business with the government and gets money from the government, contracts and so forth, will be forced into it. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with the technology. But let's talk about something more fun like gaming.
Yay for gaming. And for Papa Sangre in particular, we're going to have a demonstration of that coming up later in the podcast. But this isn't just a game that's taken off with blind folks. An interview was done by Ars Technica with the developers of Papa Sangre.
Yeah, Ricky, the makers of Papa Sangre had intentionally wrote this game with non-blind people in mind. But as they were going through the development process, as outlined by that Ars Technica article, they found that blind people were, of course, a natural fit for the combination of sound and no video. And they went on to work with people in the community to be able to make it voiceover accessible. And what they found through this article explains is that people who don't have any vision can fly through the game, but people who do rely on vision had trouble just getting out of the first level. So it was very interesting in an experimental way for them to find out how to build a game that would work for everyone. But it is kind of giving us a wonderful unfair advantage for a change. They've actually talked about different modes that they're going to add to the game. One of them would be, and I would love to see this at convention, you could add GPS and gyroscopes, and you could actually move in real time in the game, and it would actually simulate sounds and stuff around you. Naturally, I encourage that you wear a lot of padding, because you're going to fall down a lot, not just in the game, but in real life. But I could see this actually, you know, being a multiplayer game at convention, where you could actually interact with other people in real time in a field or in a parking lot, and moving around and actually having the sound simulate around you. That actually sounds kind of cool. They're going to be releasing this as an update soon. And in the demo, which is really fantastic, it gives you an idea of what this game is like. And it actually made me want to purchase this to support the developer, because they want to go on to do other audio games.
It's great stuff. But once you have gotten sick of trying to avoid being eaten by monsters, you can go out and drive a car around a racetrack. The Top Speed 3 racing game has been released. And you can play this game in a multiplayer fashion. I think it would be great to have a Top Speed night in the Samnet Music Room, which is stereo, so you can hear everybody bashing into each other, and you can taunt each other as you play. I think it'd be great fun.
Yes!
Yes, I think we should definitely do that. And while you're playing around with new cool stuff, I found an awesome music service called Fizy, or maybe it's Fizy.com, F-I-Z-Y.com. I believe it's based in Turkey, has 75 million songs and music videos, and the website is available in 26 different languages. And every song I threw at it, it came back, and I was able to play different versions. If you wanted to hear every version of Morris Albert's Feelings, you could do that.
Yep, totally.
So check it out.
Too.
Yes, F-I-Z-Y.com. Ricky, have you played with the new program called Hope, giving access to Pandora?
I have. This is only $10, and it's well worth that, and I probably would have paid a bit more for it. I've often listened to the Pandora music service using my portable device and wish that I could do the same easily on my PC, and then much cursing ensued, and I just went back to my portable device because the Pandora interface on the PC is horribly inaccessible, or at least it was, until Christopher Toth, the guy behind Quitter, he has released, as you said, a program called Hope, and this is an interface that can be used with Pandora. Everything is accessible, from being able to thumbs up or thumbs down artists and genres. You can search for music, create your own stations, and do all sorts of other cool stuff. So if you haven't purchased Hope for Pandora, it is, again, well worth what you're going to pay for it. And in fact, we're going to have a demonstration of it a bit later on the podcast.
That's right. And speaking of Christopher Toth, we must certainly congratulate him for winning the Mashable 2010 award for best use of an API with the Quitter client, which many of us blind folks use, an awesome interface for Twitter. Originally, their description of it wasn't really the best, but I think users spoke up and advocated, and now there's a clear description on the site explaining what Quitter does and who its market is. So we congratulate Christopher on that accomplishment. And all the people, Ricky, I know, and Joe and others who took time and went there on a daily basis and voted for Quitter. Again, it's where we as a community spoke up and made a difference.
Yeah, and I just want to say quickly that I think a lot of people didn't necessarily understand why it was such a big deal for Quitter to win an award like this. And there are two reasons. The first, obviously, is that it is an excellent program and it does deserve to be recognized for that. But the second reason is this is an incredible opportunity for something that is blindness specific to be recognized by the mainstream community. And I think many people, when they think about blind people at all, they wouldn't necessarily think of us using computers, much less being involved in social networking. And this is an excellent way to promote the fact that there is, in fact, a very computer savvy blind community who does enjoy social networking just as everyone else does. And we also have some very talented members of the community who can program something like this.
Last Friday, I was like a kid in a candy store because not only was I playing with Hope, but another cool app that is free called Balaboka, Balabolka. If any of you ever played with anything like News Aloud or Text Aloud, you might have a small idea of what this app does. But basically, it's a piece of Windows software that will take all different types of files, text, RTF, doc, PDF, HTML, and basically create audio files from it, but different from other apps. You can make MP3s, M4As, Windows Media Audio, even M4B, all different kinds of formats. And the other cool things that it does, it uses any voice that you have installed for text-to-speech, and it can play audio from your clipboard. Just a host of features. I've not found anything like it. You can adjust the rate and pitch of the voice independently for the audio files as you create them. You can even program inflection if you're so inclined. And there's even an option, I guess, to make the CDG or the kind of the karaoke type songs by inserting the lyrics right into your MP3 files that will actually display at the appropriate time. Completely accessible. Get the link over at serotalk.com. And if you're into making these TTS type files and playing eloquence on devices where eloquence wasn't meant to be heard, check out Balaboka.
A couple of weeks ago, we had JJ Mehta on in our great big look at 2010. You can actually listen to that podcast, that tech chat from a couple of weeks ago, if you head on over to serotalk.com. But right now, what JJ and Matt and crew have done at Blind Bargains is open up the nominations for the 4th annual Best of / Fantastic Products of the Year Awards kind of thing. And I just slaughtered their title. But really what this is that this is an opportunity, as we were talking about earlier with the community, to tell everyone what the best product was of last year, what is the best company. Who is the person you should follow on Twitter? And
yeah, that one's new this year.
Yeah, that's a new one. I think this is where I say at Ranger Station, at Serotalk, at Ricky _Enger, at Serotech.
At Boris in a Box.
You know, there are just a couple of ideas that you could nominate right there. Just leaving
that
out there for
you guys. Not that we're the slightest bit self-serving or anything.
Not us, no.
And to show that we can talk about other people besides ourselves, let's talk about Nolan Derelick and his latest project, which is the eyes-free accessible on-screen keyboard for Android. And Joe, I'd like to ask a couple of questions about this, but basically this is called TouchType. It is sort of iOS inspired, And it's a way to not only get access to the touchscreen portion of your phone and be able to type the same way you would on an iPhone, but you can also do things like arrow through text that you've entered using the on-screen keyboard. And you can also get some feedback that you might not have been able to get before. Joe, I didn't realize that it wasn't very easy to get feedback on, say, whether the shift key was activated or if you're pressing an alt key or some of the haptic stuff doesn't apparently provide feedback without this keyboard. Have you looked at it yet?
I have not looked at it yet, but I know what he is kind of getting at here. Depending on applications when you're typing in text, you know, usually with speech, you're used to hearing a pitch variance on when something's capitalized or, you know, that goes from capital S to, you know, like capital S to, you know, lowercase s. And what Nolan is proposing here is that, like an iPhone or iDevice, be able to get to some of that text and hear when you've done something like that, because you might not remember if you typed a capital there or not. And when you go to read something back, it all reads in one tone. There's not a lot of inflection. So, and also having the ability to put your finger if you know where an edit field is a lot better than what you have to do now, which is, it, for all essential purposes, tab out of a field. Like you press the D-pad down to find another button, another element, and then you push the D-pad back up to get back into the text field and hear what you've typed already. And the only good thing is that you know that the cursor is sitting at the end of whatever the edit field is, so that way you can just begin typing all over again, as opposed to sometimes in iOS where you're actually at the beginning of the field if you, you know, take focus out of there. So he's proposing some really neat changes with the limitations of Android, and it'll certainly be helpful, especially if you're a messaging user or a text user, or if you're into certain programs that used to talk but don't talk anymore. Seismic, I'm looking at you. So there's some opportunities here with this to be able to allow a little bit more parity between devices. And by far, it doesn't close any major gaps if you're a rapid texter, or if you really, really want to be able to have a discovery method of putting your finger on the screen and knowing what's under your finger, the iDevices are still the best way to go.
And on the subject of reading, well, Blind Bargains, I guess, had a few scathing comments about Bleo and the lack of results there. And James Gashel responded basically saying that we can understand your frustration, but there is something coming soon in the offing. And I guess some folks are beta testing it and says that it's coming along nicely. So I'm crossing my fingers and taking the wait and see attitude, because I was one of the few people that did, even with its limitations, get it to download and play an audio book and or make a book audio. So I want to remain optimistic that we will ultimately have access to some new content that we have not in the past. I remember the download speeds were very quick, and of course someone joked that's because no one else could use it. But we'll just have to see what happens here with the mighty Bleo.
Yeah, I agree with these guys that they shouldn't put out a substandard product. They should really get it right the first time in terms of accessibility, and they sort of missed the boat the first time on that, and this time I think they're hoping to address that. My concern is that I don't believe that all screen readers are being taken into account here. I know that they're very concerned about making sure that Bleo works with JAWS, but there are other screen readers out there, and there are lots of blind people who use those, so I don't want to be in a position of being locked out of using something that is reported to be accessible, and that accessibility just means that it's working with a single screen reader.
And every day that they're taking longer on this means that the underlying technology that they're using may be out of date
or
not relevant. Exactly. So they've talked a lot of how they're using Windows Presentation Foundation. Even Microsoft isn't completely using Windows Presentation Foundation. So, you know, when you base your engine or you base your technology on something that's kind of static, the world passes you by, and you have to be very careful about that in development. So by the time this does roll around, just how old is the code that's already there, and is it scalable or flexible for what we need it to do, you know, in the next version of whatever, Windows, Apple, whatever.
But in happier reading news, the RAND Corporation has decided to make its roughly 15,000 publications available to Bookshare. This is a group that's typically known for publishing things related to health, things about national security, education, international affairs, and all sorts of other good stuff. So they're making this available to Bookshare subscribers. This means that people aren't going to have to scan these books. They're going to be able to download them in publisher quality format.
Last week was some news on this little show called the Consumer Electronics Show. I know it was buried around some other smaller Apple news, but there were other things that did come out last week, and we're going to talk about those later in the podcast. Yeah, I know. They were soon forgotten by the iPhone announcement, but the point being here that the National Federation of the Blind Access team went over to CES and found some new things to play with. One of the things they talked about was a new HD radio to replace one that was talked about by Dice. They had to alter their plans because the parts that they were getting for the original radio were no longer available. So they have a new version of the radio coming with even newer features. So it's not just a replacement part for part. It actually is getting some really cool features. And there's also a little bit on the blog post about a rowing machine that they had used that was very accessible, and they had a good workout with it because you could control it with, oh yeah, the iPhone.
They were also looking at some stuff about BlackBerry, and in particular, there was an app called Got to Be Voice, which is going to allow you to do what you might think, control your BlackBerry via voice, and you can issue commands without having to be able to look at the phone or touch it or anything like that.
And also, there's a promise of the working with Ocean Blue, which is a UK company coming out with software to make TV set top boxes accessible. So again, a promise, and we'll see what's delivered on that front.
You know, when you go to a big box store like Best Buy, you'll see a lot of these products from CES and others. One of the things that, you know, can always get you is trying to find a washer or dryer that's fully accessible. And Brad Hodges, in the latest version of Access World, actually went over to check on the accessibility features in a couple of washers from Whirlpool, like the Duets, which is what I have, and I purchased them based off of a previous Access World article. Brad takes a look at some reports that the Whirlpool and other appliances had been changed, and what he found, happily, was that not only were they changed for the better, but they actually had some additional features put into them, and that's listed at the article at Access World.
Yeah, this is good news, so you don't accidentally push the self-clean on your oven when you plan to just heat it up to 325 or something. In screen reader news, GW Micro has announced that for $499, you can upgrade any version of Window Eyes to the latest. So you just get a flat fee of $499 to do that. If you want to get SMAs for that, you can pay an extra $200 to do that.
Now, if I'm correct, I believe even the $499, you get one upgrade, if I'm correct. And of course, the extra $200 will get you the SMA for three upgrades. But one article I read, I believe it was at Blind Bargain, said to make this cost effective, you would need to be upgrading from 4.5 or earlier. Otherwise, it's just easier to pay the upgrade and bring yourself up to speed. But I'm glad they're making that available. And of course, then there's also the screen readers in the free domain. Orca v2.195 or some crazy number like that. So those of you who play around in Linux and want to have the latest, greatest Orca, hopefully more stable than in the past, you can go get that version at a link over at serotalk.com.
And speaking of Linux, the console-based SpeakUp screen reader has finally been included in the stock Linux kernel. So this means that no longer do you have to worry about what distribution of Linux you're getting, and do I get Vinix, do I do this, and go out and grab the latest and greatest before I can make my system talk. No longer do you have to do that, because SpeakUp is now included by default.
Many of our listeners use a screen reader to be able to access the internet, and Donna Johansson from Canada was using her screen reader to actually apply for a Canadian job, and what she found out was that she couldn't do that very well. So she actually went into a legal action with the Canadian government, and the Canadian government said, well, you don't have to use the web. We have all these other ways you could actually apply for a job, like by phone or by letter and all of this. And of course, her feeling was that, well, you know, that's great that you have an alternative format, but I should be able to access the web like everybody else.
I mean, she won the case and it was mandated in the next 15 months and now it's being appealed. So initial victory, and now the fun-filled legal appeals process will kick into gear as they will try to overturn that. A lot of advocacy, and rightfully so, going on in Canada right now by individuals to kind of bring things up to speed. And speaking of access, it looks like Drupal 7, a website building suite, has been made much more accessible with actually 75 enhancements, including improved keyboard navigation, improved accessibility for form fields, search engine form and presentation, accessible drag and drop functionality. I'd be curious to see how that works. So I'll be curious if anyone's playing with that. Maybe you have an account over at Bluehost or some other ISP and are actually building sites with Drupal. We would certainly love to hear a review and hear your input. You know, I hear a lot of people say, oh, yeah, it's more accessible, but play around with Drupal and put it through its paces and see what we can actually accomplish.
There you go. And while you're doing that, you might want to actually read about web accessibility. And if you want to, there are 6 free books about that. There are probably lots more, but we have an article that covers 6 of them that they cover web accessibility, accessible content, accessible design, and accessible topography. So you can check all those out online, and they're in HTML, or you can get PDF versions if you're particularly masochistic and want to go that direction.
All right, folks, I know some of you love this and some of you hate this. It's time for Apple Stuff.
App Store Smackdown.
Well, there's an interesting debate going on over the new Mac Apps Store. Is it good or evil? So, Joe, I'm going to give you the chance here. We're going to debate this. We're going to present both sides. Do you want to say why the Mac Store is good, or do you want to tell us why it sucks?
All right. I think I will take I'll be the devil's advocate here. I'll take good for a change. Usually I'm Mr. Negative, so I'll take good. You know, we all three of us have the Mac App Store, and we've played with it since it came out, so I think we can speak eloquently about this. Let me say that the good thing is that you can find this relatively easily. You can navigate it with VoiceOver. It's going to make installing things that much simpler. You'll be able to do searches for applications and have them all in one spot rather than going to Best Buy and getting laughed at when you ask where the Mac section is. So there's a lot of opportunities to get you programs you may want. So what do you think about that, Ricky?
I actually agree with a lot of that, but there are some downsides to this, especially for developers. They're going to have to raise their prices because normally they'd be selling their software through their own third-party channels, but if they want to put this stuff in the App Store, Apple's got to get a 30% cut of that. So the developers are going to have to raise prices just to make some money on this stuff, and obviously we're going to have to pay higher prices if we want to get that software. Not only that, but let's say that you have already purchased an app before it made it into the App Store. Now, if you want to be able to update that app from the App Store, you'll have to do the purchase completely over again because those things don't transfer from the sort of third-party method to the App Store. You're not going to be able to do things like check out trials or anything like that because once these programs make it to the App Store, Apple wants them to be in their final form. So with much more expensive apps, you're just going to have to take the plunge if you think this might be worth it. And you may not even know if these apps are going to be accessible. Normally, you'd be able to find that out during a trial period. But if you're getting something from the App Store, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, there's a whole host of pros and cons. We encourage you to read both links at serotalk.com. A couple things I learned to work within the App Store is you can search for products based on their extension. So, for example, if you want to find any kind of MP3 recorder or player, you could type :MP3 or :MP3. And also, I haven't played with this, but there's something called AppFresh that you can use to get not only Apple updates, but Microsoft updates, Adobe updates, and other things. If anyone's played with AppFresh, let us know about that at resources@cyriltalk.com.
Yeah, I haven't seen this either. I guess this is sort of the equivalent to FileHippo on Windows or something like that.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, I suppose so. It's a cool concept. I hope that it works well. Apple Education is offering a free online accessibility webinar for educators. And I believe this began in September, and I think it's going to stop around April. So we're already pretty much halfway through that period, but you still can sign up. And Michael, I think you actually did so.
Yes, I did. I signed up, and so it goes till April. So there's at least three more months. We're a little bit over halfway through it. So I'd be curious to see their technology that they use for viewing these webinars and to actually attend one live and kind of see how that works. And I'd be curious to see what I can learn. It's really for educational institutions, but if you're not one, you can just give them the name of your organization, as I did with Cyrotech, and they gave me a password or let me choose a password and gave me access. So we'll report what
right
we can
on.
Find and learn through that vehicle. We're glad to see Apple doing that, that combined with them actually creating a section in the App Store for accessible applications with over 80 apps. That's again, Apple stepping forward and showing some commitment to promoting accessibility.
I'll tell you what you won't be seeing in the App Store. That would be the VLC Media Player. That app was actually pulled by Apple recently. And this gets back to kind of what we were talking about with the App Store originally, which is that if you don't meet the rules of what Apple sets inside for what apps can and cannot do, you're kind of limited on what you're going to be able to get access to unless you're willing to go out there and find things like opensourcemac.org or something like that. So it doesn't mean that you can't load programs like this. You just can't seem to have them in the App Store, it looks like. So those of you that were using VLC on iOS devices, hope you got it. And if we were looking for it, don't expect to find it.
You got it.
Well, that concerns me. Even if we have it, how long will it last? Because these apps have expiration dates. And of course, Apple could just totally cripple it, just remove it if they want. So I'd be curious to see what happens in that vein. But as far as entertainment, I guess, and education, PBS has actually come out with an app. Does some public TV shows, not all shows. I found it to be a little hostile, but I guess the trick is with it is every 5 seconds or so, it kind of updates the screen with a different show that you can currently watch. And so it's something you got to play around with. I don't know, Ricky, I think you said you've dabbled with it as well. I got it to work, but
yeah, I did use it on the iPhone 4, and it was probably a slightly better experience than it would be on the 3GS, but it's still a little disconcerting to hear the web page loaded sound happening every 5 seconds, and you're not necessarily sure where you are and if your focus has moved and so on. But neat little app. It is free, so no harm in checking that out.
My workaround was to go up to categories and choose one of the shows from the category area that tended to keep the picture static. And so if you're looking specifically for a show like Masterpiece, you could then go to categories, go to Masterpiece, and then that will give you a list of shows, and it's a little easier to navigate from there.
In other Apple news, Microsoft is disputing the attempt by Apple to trademark the term App Store. Microsoft also wants to create an app store, and their argument, of course, is that app store is a very generic description, much like Air. I wonder if Adobe or Apple are going to try to trademark that, because there's Adobe Air and the MacBook Air. But in any case, Microsoft is arguing this, so we'll have to see how this shakes out.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It'd be like Payless Shoes going out and saying, we copyright the name Shoe Store. Nobody else can use the term Shoe Store. And, you know, that gets a little crazy. I'm thinking of Freedom TM by Daniel Suarez when you get to that kind of corporate branding. So that's just kind of crazy. I don't know if it'll work out. It's a little different than when Mike Rowe got sued by Microsoft, MikeRowe. He created a website called Microsoft, and Microsoft got a little upset. There, that's a little bit more clear case, but I don't know, generic term, App Store?
Yeah, I think Apple's probably going to lose this one. They do, however, actually have a very cool patent that isn't an attempt to trademark something they shouldn't, and that is they've got a network booting patent, and what they're eventually trying to do is make OS X available in the cloud. This is certainly not a unique thing for them to do. Microsoft is trying to do the same thing with Windows Azure, and of course we've got Google Chrome.
Apple's also doing a lot of things to be able to find things online. There's the Apple Store app that's on your iDevices, but they've also done this neat thing where you can actually go to the web and find what your warranty status is.
Yeah, it does quite a bit. I mean, you can register any of your devices, check out your current status of your warranty. You can even pick up the serial number. You can issue repair requests. A whole host of features, and of course, I think what they hope you'll really do, ultimately, is go down and buy some AppleCare for one or more of your devices. But I like to see the layout of it there. It really simplifies the process because all your devices are in one place, and we got the URL over at serotalk.com where you can go, and you just log in with your standard Apple ID and password. And you know, so for someone like myself that's been an elitist and had three different devices, an iMac and a MacBook Pro and the iPhone, I can go and see what days I purchased them and how long the warranties are good for. So by all means, check it out. I think it's another good move for both them and the consumer.
It says here you can identify them with a nickname. I shudder to think what that might actually be like for the poor guys at the Apple Genius Bar. I'm calling to check on the status of Daffodil.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, is Mac Princess okay? I'm calling to check in on that.
I'm so worried about Fred the computer.
I want Fluffy back. Is Fluffy okay? Is he booting? Anyway, the GPS space on iOS devices, there's certainly no shortage there. We've got TomTom and Navigon being at least two accessible turn-by-turn navigation solutions. And then you've got things like the Sendero app. Now we have Garmin coming into this space, and you can get this app for $39.95. None of us have actually tried it, but we've gotten some reports that it is mostly accessible. They've got a little bit of work to do, but if you're looking for yet one more GPS app, it might be well worth shelling out the money to check it out.
That's kind of what we got on the Apple, other than a new technology, Ricky, that Mike Calvo saw when he was out at CES in Las Vegas to prevent your phone from getting all scratched up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one in particular. He's got a whole host of new technology to talk about that he discovered while he was at CES. But this one in particular is PhoneGuard. And I really want it because I'm not particularly enamored with cases that bulk up the phone. And the phone just doesn't feel as nice in the hand. It's much heavier. But I do want something that's going to protect the phone from scratches and things like that. So this phone guard does exactly that without adding anything to the phone. It's a sort of very thin plastic that you're able to put on the phone, and it protects it against scratches. It's obviously not going to protect it if you drop the phone onto concrete or anything like that. But if you do want to make sure that your phone doesn't have a lot of fingerprints on it, doesn't get all scratched up as you use it every day, this stuff's going to be perfect.
Three things on the audio front. Brian Smart has updated his VoxKey app. It's version 1.2, and it is used to quickly access programs and functions that you can't by default, either by reducing the number of keystrokes that you need or even using Apple Script to automate some of that, and even getting access to tasks that VoiceOver doesn't see. Now, the downside is, from what I read, you have to purchase something called Quick Keys, which I believe is in about the $60 price range before you can really use VoxKey. So I haven't made that commitment. I really would like to hear from someone using this.
If you wanted to use your Happy Eye device when you're out on the road and you want to be able to record things like interviews and things like that, looks like we have the ideal accessory for you. It is not released yet, but it is called the iRig mic. It's expected to be about $59.95. It is a unidirectional condenser mic, so it's going to be great for doing one-on-one interviews and blocking out some of that noise from the show floor. Hopefully, we'll be able to bring some things back from CSUN.
Our final story. Very interesting one. You want to take this, Joe? You being from Louisiana?
Yeah, you're the hunter in the group, right? Or is it me?
Yeah. Sure. I will at least admit that I'm from New Orleans. How's that? I have actually gone hunting. It's not my favorite experience at all. I'm a geek in the truest sense in that I don't find sitting out on a deer stand very fun or warm at all. But it seems that other people in Louisiana did actually want to be able to do so. And they have found ways to use laser scopes and tagging in order to go out and provide hunting opportunities for themselves.
Yeah, previously they had to have a sighted companion who would look over their shoulder, which I would assume would be kind of a challenge if you're trying to aim a rifle or something and somebody's got their chin on your shoulder saying, little this way, little that way. But now you can use lasers, so it's a little easier for your companion to help you point and shoot. And yeah, they've just passed a law making this possible in Louisiana anyway.
Dr. Evil comes to mind. I want sharks with
lasers.
Beams. I've got mutant sea bass. And you know, that's fantastic. I think that's more of a northern Louisiana thing than a southern Louisiana thing. I think I don't really remember.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Like, do they shoot crawdads or
yeah,
what?
They're crabs, soft-shell crabs. Those are much easier to shoot when you get closer to the coast. You know, there are great ways of being able to do this. I know people in Minnesota go out and hunt a lot. I remember listening to Minnesota Talking Book Radio, and they would always talk about, make sure you wear your orange vest. And I was like, well, that's not going to help me much, but okay, I appreciate that. You know, but there are lots of people doing amazing things, skydiving, climbing mountains, and why not hunting? Sure, that's great.
Let me ask, how many people do each of you know who own guns? I'm totally blind. I know two. Like three, actually, now that I think about it. So
I can think of two, although I don't know either very well personally. Actually, three, and I do know one of them well personally. Take that back.
My parents are visually impaired in a way, and they actually have concealed weapons permits here in Texas. And I love them dearly, but I do call the house to let them know that I'm coming home before I actually do walk in the door. So they're, you know, it's a right.
Well, what else can we say about that, folks? But we'd like to hear your two cents. If you, if you own a firearm or you just to protect yourself or whatever, or just don't think blind folks should have them, we'd like to hear from you on anything that we talk about. Really, your input is very valuable. Our most recent Tech Chat 85 was specifically from a user request. So it's a great one on exercise, and we invite you to check that out as well. So with that, I think we're going to roll on and give you these two audio segments. So if you have suggestions for segments or just comments on stories we've done or topics you'd like to see us cover in the future, resources at serotalk.com.
Thanks for listening. See you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
Hi, my name is Luis, and I will be demonstrating the iTouch iPhone game Papa Sangre.
Papa Sangre. Papa Sangre. Continue game. Button. Choose a level. Button. Choose a level. About the game. Button. Continue game. Button. Choose a level. Button. Play level 1 in the dark. Main menu. Button. Play level 1 in the dark.
Once the level has loaded, swipe left and right across the top half. To turn, press the bottom quarters to move your feet. Now triple tap home button to turn voiceover off.
Voiceover.
Here you are in the land of the dead, the realm ruled by Papa Sangre. You're a brave soul here to rescue a soul in peril, no? In this underworld, it is pitch dark. You cannot see a thing, You can't even see me, a fluttery, watery thing, here to help you. But you can listen and move. I will tell you how. First, you must learn how to walk in this body. Next, you must learn how to see with your ears. You will need these powers to save the soul in peril and make your way to the light. First, you must learn how to walk in this body. Walk with your thumbs and listen to your footsteps. Left, right, left. Yes, you are walking. A little more. You have tripped. Get up. Good. Now try to run. Run too fast and you will trip up. You have tripped. Get up. Keep going. That sparky sound is the sound of the light. The exit.
You have tripped.
Walk towards it. You have tripped. Get up. You will need to find the sound of the light to exit each chamber in the kingdom of Papa Sangre. Now, you will learn to listen and to turn to face the sounds you hear.
Triple tap home button to turn voiceover back on. Once the level has loaded, swipe left and right across the top half. To turn, press the bottom quarters to move your feet. Now triple tap home button to turn voiceover off.
Now I am turning you slowly in a clockwise direction. Hear the world turn around you. Hear the bell in the distance, the clock nearby. The wheel on the screen shows you how you turn. You can turn yourself by wiping the upper half of the screen where the wheel is. Hear how the world turns with your head. When you are done, turn right round and I will come and find you. Have a go. Yes, well done. And finally, you must learn how to collect the trail of music leading you to Papa Sangre.
Triple tap home button to turn voiceover back on.
Voiceover on. Landscape. Main menu. But try this level again. Main menu. Continue to next level. Button.
Triple tap home button to turn voiceover off. During level, triple tap screen to pause.
You must follow a choice of musical notes, and the first of them is here. Collect it by turning towards its sound and walking towards it. Another note will then appear. Collect it too. When you have both of them, the sound of the light appears. Walk through it to exit the chamber. Now collect the next note. Can you hear it further away? Now it's time to leave. Can you hear the exit? Walk through it. Well done. Your story starts here in the first palace of the kingdom of Papa Sangre, the Palace of Bones. You have been summoned here to save the soul of someone who is dear to you. They are in grave danger. The trail of musical notes leads you through the kingdom to Papa Sangre and the soul in peril. In every chamber, collect the musical notes, and the sound of the light appears for you to exit onwards. But beware. Here be monsters. They will kill you if they catch you, and then I'll have to make your soul a new body. Enter the kennel, a dank cloister with a sleeping snufflehog. If you ever need help, stand still, and I will be there in un momento.
Triple tap home button to turn voiceover back on.
Voiceover on. Landscape. Main menu. Continue to next level. Button. Try this level again. Main menu. Continue to next level. Button.
Triple tap home button to turn voiceover off. During level, triple tap screen to pause.
You are at the entrance to the palace.
Voiceover off.
It is guarded by a hog. The hog is asleep in the kennel, next to a musical note. The hog will eat you if it catches you. If you trip and fall, the hog will wake and chase you. Now find the exit. Careful, you're near the hog. Well done. It is difficult to see with your ears. You are learning quickly. To the next chamber, the bed of bones. A snufflehog's chamber, scattered with squeaky toys and crunchy finger bones. Step on them, and the hog will hear you and chase where it last heard you.
And that there is a sample of the iTouch iPhone app game Papa Sangre.
We opened Pandora's box just to see if she was home.
Hi, this is Michael Loff, and I want to tell you about a cool program written to interface with Pandora.com. It works in Windows and is called Hope. The program is absolutely fantastic. It makes many features of Pandora available that we cannot use in terms of accessibility, and in some ways works much better, or let's just say I like the interface much better than actually going to the Pandora.com website. Now, many people, of course, are using the Pandora app for the iPhone, and that rocks, but Hope gives you a wealth of features with hotkeys for everything you can do. The only thing it doesn't do once you install it is make a desktop shortcut, which is easy enough to do by going into Start and Program Files and finding Hope, right-clicking and creating a desktop shortcut. I call the shortcut Hope. So press the letter H.
Hold.
And press Enter. And we will show you.
Hold. Stations. List.
Now, it comes up in a list of stations. I haven't done that much with it, but we have.
Genesis Radio.
Genesis Radio.
Light Rock.
Light Rock.
MLoft's Quick Mix.
MLoft's Quick Mix, which is kind of a composite of all other stations and songs that I've given the thumbs up and thumbs down ratings to, which I'll show you shortly.
Soul.
And Soul. This also allows you to rename stations that originally was called Earth, Wind, and Fire Radio. Tab.
Listen button, Alt L.
Listen with Alt L.
Rename station button, Alt R.
You can rename the station if you want to give it a better name by tabbing to the button and pressing spacebar or pressing Alt-R.
Delete station button, Alt-D.
You can delete, again, by pressing spacebar or pressing Alt-D.
Search button, Alt-S.
And the search button for Alt-S. And I will press Alt-S.
Pandora search, search, editable text.
This allows me to look for another radio station. The way it works is you search for an artist you really like, and then it plays similar artists or similar styles of music. So let's say in this case, I want to hear some blues rock. So I'm going to type ZZ Top and press Enter.
Top. Results. List.
And I will down arrow to look through results.
ZZ Top. Type artist.
Okay, so we have ZZ Top. I will tab once to the
Create Station button, Alt-C.
Create Station button, and you can either press Alt-C or again spacebar.
Oh, search button, Alt-S. Stations, list.
And now added to my repertoire.
ZZ Top Radio.
Is ZZ Top Radio. Again, you can either tab or press Alt-L to listen. I pressed Alt-L.
ZZ Top Radio, waiting for the bus. Artist, read only text. ZZ Top.
So what you see is it tells you the artist and title in separate fields. As you tab through, you find a variety of different features.
Title, read only text, waiting for the album, read only text, previous button, alt R, pause button, alt, thumbs up button, alt, thumbs down button, stop button, alt, next button, alt, add, position, slider, 87, volume, slider, 0.
Here's a volume slider, which I can turn down.
10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60.
So I can talk with you.
Artist, read only text, ZZ Top.
It's a read-only text, but I can move, use my arrow keys to move through it.
Z, space. T, O, P. Title, read-only text, waiting for the bus.
Waiting for the bus, you can again use your arrow keys to see how it is spelled.
Album, read-only text, the best of ZZ Top.
And it tells you the album from which it comes. In this case, the best of ZZ Top.
Previous button, Alt R.
There is a previous button. You can go back and listen to the last song you just heard by pressing Alt-R, or think of as reverse.
Pause button, Alt-P.
The pause button with Alt-P, which when pressed again, becomes the play button, Alt-P.
Thumbs up button, Alt-U.
Here's the thumbs up button. If you like the song, you can press spacebar or press Alt-U from anywhere in Pandora to say, hey, I like this song, play more songs like this. I will do that now. And then, to go to the next song, I will press Alt-N. Now, there's spaces between each song. Kind of think of it like the old school days of playing an album or maybe a CD. And there's a classic. Maybe you know it or you don't. If you don't, you can easily go to the artist and title and album button and find out that it's Creedence Clearwater Revival and that classic. I like that. So let's give it a thumbs up. And let's go to the next song. Now, one thing I found with this program, when you do the thumbs up, you get different results. Theoretically, what it does is it plays similar songs. That may be the same artist. It could be a similar style of music or even a similar genre. So the mileage varies. Sometimes you get just that one song played occasionally every hour or so. Sometimes it displays a select number of songs from that same artist. And other times, like when I was listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire Radio and B.B. King came on, when I gave it the Alt-U for thumbs up, it started playing a variety of different blues artists. So you have to be mindful of when you give something a thumbs up or thumbs down, do you really want to hear more of that artist? Maybe you don't, so thumbs down might be appropriate.
Play button, Alt-P.
I like that song, so I'm going to give it another Alt-U. I think I picked a good one here. I'm not finding too many to do thumbs down on. There's some Jimmy. I like him. We'll give him Alt-U. There's Legs. Not crazy about this song. It's okay. But I'm going to give it a thumbs down, which will also skip it. Not too crazy about this song either from Mountain, Mississippi Queen. So as you see, by the time you do this, not too crazy about this song, but I do like Leonard Skinnard, so we'll give it a thumbs up. And on it goes. I'll hit Alt-S for stop. What happens over time is you really build a station that plays the kind of music you like. When you close out of this with Alt-F4, you don't automatically exit the program.
Home stations list.
You go back to the previous window where you have your list of stations and again the options to
listen button, Alt-L.
Listen.
Rename station button, Alt-R.
Rename station.
Delete station button,
delete.
Alt-D. Search button, Alt-S.
And search.
Stations list.
Not only is there an adjustable volume control, but there's also a control to adjust the percentage of the file so you can actually move forward and back through the file. I haven't used Pandora for a few years, but it seems that Hope is making Pandora do things that I'm not sure that you can do on the website, like skipping many tracks or moving in reverse to hear tracks you've listened to in the past. So whatever it's doing a great job of it. It's a very friendly user interface, has hotkeys for all functions, and is a well-written, well-laid-out program. Hats off to Christopher Toth for this program, which he charges $10 for. There is no product registration key, so you can install it on as many of your own computers as you desire. We hope you will respect Mr. Toth's efforts and do not pass around the internet. Check it out at q-continuum.net or get the link at www.serotalk.com. It is worth every cent of the $10 and so much more. You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB-2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.